He had difficulty finding the right word, proprietorship to these imprints. They are open to all. And so it becomes useless to try to pinpoint who was actually that person, for it is meaningless. D. This is one of the arguments people have against reincarnation. They say if we find many people with the same lives, then it can't be true. S. They are being challenged to widen their scope of knowledge. They are given facts which contradict their short-sighted beliefs and are so challenged to expand their awareness. D. Then it doesn't matter if someone was the actual Cleopatra or whoever. We still have access to the information of their life. S. It can be verified as easily with the actual soul or with one of many hundred others who experience the same imprint. It makes no difference. D. But would different people perhaps perceive the imprint in a different way? If one person was questioned who had the life as Cleopatra, and another having the same life, would conversations with a spirit their concept possibly be different? S. A very good question. We would say that human experience is like a filter and colors these perceptions which pass through it. So if an experience in that Cleopatra incarnation was found objectionable to the conscience of the person relating that, it would either be deleted or changed in order to present it in such a manner as to not cause the disruption of the entity. That sounds like self-editing. Could this then explain errors that sometimes crop up? Wouldn't this be similar to the way people understand and use research for their own purposes and to prove their own various points of view? D. It would nonetheless be true, it would just be different ways of looking at it. S. That is correct. It would be presented in as accurate a portrait as possible, but in the most comfortable one also. D. Would this also explain the question of parallel lives, two lives apparently occurring at the same time or overlapping each other? S. Yes, this is how the paradox or the contradiction arises about parallel lives. It is simply a matter of acquiring societal experiences, laws, regulations, customs, in order to carry out effectively in one's incarnation. D. Then it doesn't really matter if it can be proved or not, does it? S. Exactly. What is the point? One could go for millennia in tracing one's past lives, and in this respect it would be totally useless. However, there is much that can be learned from these recalls. Not only from a personal point of view for the regressee but for those who read and hear of this. Much knowledge can be shared so there is much use for everyone. D. By reliving past lives, some people receive much benefit in their personal lives, such as understanding their personal relationships with others. S. Yes, that is true. D. How is it decided what imprints you are going to have or someone else is going to have? A certain imprint chosen for certain individuals? Imprinting 209s. The imprint is determined by what the incarnation's goals are to be. If one were to become a leader, a president, for example, one might have imprints from various levels of leaders, from tribal leaders on up through possibly past precedential leaders, maybe a mayor, maybe a leader of thieves. If the emphasis is on leading, many imprints of a leading nature could be used so that the entity is familiar with the aspect of or the idea of what the job of leading is. There is also the secondary and even tertiary advantage of learning humility, patience, fun and entertainment. All of the multitudes of experiences are in these imprints. The method of imprinting is beyond me. The effect is to experience multiple lives, maybe simultaneously, maybe serially. But the effect is to learn lessons from other people's experiences. The lessons are shared. The experiences each of us are having in this lifetime now will be available at the end of these lifetimes to be imprinted for use by anyone who would have a use for them. It is simply borrowing books from a library if you would consider each life a book and reading and understanding it instantly. D. Are you saying then that the energy of life is as though stored in a book and placed in a library and is available to be imprinted into other people's lives if they so desire to use that information? S. That is accurate. There is no limitation on how many can use one particular life. Thousands of people could imprint the same experience simultaneously. D. so it would be possible for me to regress more than 1% to a particular life if it just so happened that the imprint was available to both individuals. S. This is true. The imprints are chosen before the incarnation. There is a method which is far too complex to understand. But you can say that there is a computer, a master computer which has access to all the lives, everyone previous. And so the information is fed in of what is to be expected of this life, and the appropriate imprints are then selected and overlaid. There is a hierarchy of spirits whose job it is to do this. There is a council which oversees this. They assist the soul. This computer or council is given all the information regarding the mission and the past experiences of the vehicles with 2 IO conversations with a spirit D, S, D, S, D, S, D, S, which to draw from. And so there is the choosing between that previous lifetime which has been deposited into the records, and a match between that which pertains and the experience which is about to begin. All memory, all thoughts, all senses, everything that a real existing life would have is there intact. It is a hologram, a three-dimensional summation of that lifetime. All experiences, remembrances, emotions are imprinted into that soul and become a part of that soul. This information is then carried after the incarnation is over and is a gift from having lived in this realm of existence and so then becomes part of the permanent record of that soul. Wouldn't it be proper to say the imprint is like a pattern? Would that be another word? That you pick these patterns and use them to try to pattern your life after? That could be used. I just had an interesting idea. It is rather like doing research in a library, isn't it? Yes. You are given books on many subjects and with that knowledge in hand you carry forth. But when a person really lives a life they gain much from the day-to-day experience of living that life. Would they gain the same value, so to speak, from the imprint? You speak from a karmic point of view and we would say this is not accurate. For the imprint simply gives reference from which to draw. It does not assist in working off any karma. It simply is an added tool with which to work off karma. Were everyone to receive imprints then there would be a standstill in which no one would be experiencing true lives. And there would be nothing, eventually, relative to imprint from. So there is or must be real actual lives being lived with which to add to this record library. Yes, after a while the soul would prefer the shortcuts to the actual experience. For some souls the shortcuts are appropriate, for others they are not, for this vehicle is now living a lifetime which is appropriate. It could be said that he could have simply waited for someone else to have experienced an incarnation at this time and then received that imprint, could it not? However, the actual experience would not have been learned. Imprinting to the free will of the soul is here, in that the imprint is made by the free will of the soul and not someone else's free will. All relative information is given into this computer and those appropriate incarnations are then given for imprinting. The imprints are available from this source but the individual makes the final decision. The soul has the power to reject if he finds an imprint which is not acceptable to him. For whatever reason, if he simply decides to use his authority to say, I do not wish to have that one, then so be it. D. This is causing me a little confusion. Are you saying then that there is no such thing as reincarnation as we know it? S. Let me say, there is the progression from body to body. There are also the imprints. Someone may have lived actually 5 lives, but yet have the experience of 500. It's a combination of effects. D. In other words, that is information you have at birth and it is utilized by you during your life. S. The imprints are complete at the time of birth. But extra imprints are also available whenever necessary. This would be similar to packing luggage for a trip and finding during the trip that one has forgotten something. And so, there are stores along the way. Are you familiar with map overlays? For example, you might have the physical boundaries of the United States with no political boundaries such as states or counties. But these would be on transparencies. Each transparency is then laid down in succession and a complete picture is given. This could be used as an analogy to imprints. The imprints may be overlaid in many different ways, one being in a dream or a physical experience of some sort. It can be a traumatic experience such as a death in the family or a loss of one's job or any time where one is open from within by some experience. Be it joyous or grievous or anywhere in between, the opening of oneself is the key here. And that imprint which is necessary will be neatly fitted in, with no notice whatsoever by the entity. But the fact is you can also actually live many lives without ever having an imprint. Imprints are simply aids. They are not necessary for everyone. D. The idea just occurred to me, is the life of Jesus available to be imprinted by the average person? 2. I. Two conversations with a spirit. S. The life is available and has been used throughout history. This is an extremely exceptional life which has been made available. The life embodies all the ideals that humanity is striving for. D. These would be the principles of Jesus' life. Is that what you mean? S. That is correct. D. Then it would be very admirable to be imprinted with those. S. It would be most useful. It would correlate as a friend to a friend in the inner planes at this lifetime. The experience could also be overlaid on a person. Many who are incarnate have this imprint now. Jesus came as the foundation for this present evolution, to imprint this particular life for the healing of this planet. That is what is called the Christ consciousness. And each person who walks this path, as the friend to the friend or as the healer, as Jesus was, has this imprint. And they are able to call upon this imprint when they have reached a certain state of consciousness in their own development. D. I was wondering, would this experience go along with what the Christians term as being born again and the entire changing of the person's life? Would that be what happens if they take on the Christ imprint? S. It is an awakening to this imprint, and is perceived as being born again. Many describe it as Christ entering their life, when in fact it or he has been there all the time. It would be like finding a jewel in the closet. D. In this way it changes their life when they are awakened to this. S. This is definitely correct. D. When there is a true change brought about, does a change in their level of consciousness take place so that they are then operating from the Christ consciousness? S. They are operating with the Christ consciousness through their inner planes. The Christ spirit is then brought into the eternal flame within the heart and burns as unconditional love. D. Then this is a real experience, one experienced by many religious people. S. That is correct. It is a most profound experience, as sure as imprinting 213 D, S, D, S, D, S, D, S, a light being turned on in the darkness. I have always thought there would be some way I could correlate the work I am doing with these experiences that Christians have had, and show that there really is no conflict at all. There is simply the terminologies involved. Much conflict is created from arguments over what to call these experiences. It is merely a matter of semantics or labeling, and the way people are attracted to their own religious orientation. Each will experience and call it something else, and therein arises the argument. Each person is attached to his concept or perception as being the more correct one. Much work must be done to assure these people that their beliefs are valid, even without their labeling. For the labeling becomes a crutch, so they can hang on to that which is unseen. The labeling then becomes more important than that which is labeled. Are these experiences unique to the Christian religion? There are similar experiences throughout all of humankind from the beginning, and they will continue for as long as humankind exists. It is in all religious aspects and evolution through all cultures. As I said, thousands of people could imprint the same experience simultaneously. The incarnate body of Jesus was not the only incarnation on this planet of the Christ consciousness. This planet has had many of those who have embodied these concepts, such as Gautama, Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, Elijah, etc. I think it boils down to truth is truth no matter what you call it. That is correct. This would help explain that there really isn't as much difference as people think. There is merely labeling and the controversy that goes with such labeling. The effort has to be directed at allowing these people to see what is beneath the labels and to accept the labels for what they are. This experience with the walk-in happened with totally unexpected spontaneity. It would be impossible to predict something like this anyway. When taken through the birth experience, the majority of my subjects relive coming into this life in the conventional manner. Thus I was not prepared for this radically different way of entering the physical body. The young girl who was my subject had told me the story of her birth into this present life. She said that she had been born dead during a home delivery. The doctor tried, but had been unable to do anything for her, so he had put her limp body aside to care for her mother. It was only through the intervention of the girl's aunt that she is alive at all. Although the doctor told them there was no use trying, her aunt had worked with the lifeless body for several long minutes until finally a feeble cry was heard. This young woman had been told this story all her life. The family fully believed that if it had not been for the aunt's perseverance, she would not be here today. I wanted to take her through the birth experience to see what had really happened. Subjects have benefited greatly from regressed scenes such as this. They especially have received greater insight into the feelings and attitudes of close family members, because it has been proven that the entity is fully aware of everything occurring during pregnancy and preceding their birth. I have taken enough subjects through their birth experiences to be sure that this young woman was not even in the baby's body at the time, but a delayed entry for some reason. Perhaps she was still conversing with her teachers and masters at the school on the other plane and had almost not made it in time. Perhaps she had been having second thoughts about entering into this life and the teachers had to use stronger persuasion. Often the entity tries to take on too much karma to be worked out as they plan their curriculum in his earthly classroom. They begin to wonder whether they are taking on too heavy of a load. It is very similar to signing up the college. There are often courses that are required which are more difficult than the easier extracurricular courses. Often a student realizes he is taking on more than he can comfortably handle. This is similar to coming into a life. It always looks easier during the planning stage. But often the plans have gone too far with karmic relationships already arranged, etc., and it is too late for the entity to back out. I have discovered with my work at least two main ways that the entity is born. They may enter the body while it is still in the womb and go through the actual birth if they wish to experience this. They may also remain outside of the baby's body but in close proximity to the mother and merely watch. They have freedom during this time to still go back and forth to the spirit planes as they are not totally tied to the baby yet. The main requirement, no matter which way they choose to do it, is that they enter the baby's body at the first breath. Failure to do so can result in stillbirths. Because of the circumstances of her birth, instead of asking her to go to the time she was born, I asked her to go to the time she first entered this physical body to whom I was speaking. Maybe it was this wording that triggered the incident. I counted her there and asked what she was doing. S, I'm watching. I was not surprised because I knew she would not be in the baby's body. D, where are you? S, at the foot of the bed. A deep breath, I'm preparing to enter into the body for the final time. Up to this point it has been for short periods only. D, do you mean the infant's body? S, no. It is not the body of a baby. It is an adult body. 216 conversations with the spirit. This was a shock and one I was totally unprepared for. What did she mean? D, you mean you are not coming into an infant's body that has been born? S, number D, this is not a normal thing, is it? S, no, but it is becoming more normal than a lot of people would be led to believe. D, you said you have entered this body for only short periods up until this time. What did you mean? S, there has been an exchange of souls. A trying out period, as it were, to decide whether or not the relinquishment would be made. Whether or not she would accept what she had asked for. D, she asked for this? S, yes. It is something that has been wished for and the other entity felt her time was over. I was having difficulty accepting this. It sounded very much like what is called a walk-in. This is a term that originated in Ruth Montgomery's writings and has come into popular usage. It loosely means a spirit that walks into a living body instead of being born as a baby. I had encountered this phenomenon only once before in regressive hypnosis. That experience involved an entity that entered the body of a young child who was very ill. An exchange of souls was made when the occupying soul wanted out. That experience happened during a session conducted in the I-960s, long before the term walk-in had even been coined. This was reported in my book Five Lives Remembered. D. Why? Did something happen? Was there a reason for this? S. The decisions that affected the life. She thought that she would be able to handle the problems that she had put upon herself, and when she found out that they were too strong, she asked to be returned home. D. Will you please explain what you mean? S. A deep breath. She did not have the strength she thought that she had, therefore she is asking to be relieved of the situation. D. Couldn't this occur with the death of the body? S. Yes, but why cause the body to die when another can take its place and do much good? It was the soul that decided she could not deal with the karma she had chose to deal with, and decided to leave the body. This body. It is not time for it to die. It must continue on. In these cases the body is left operating so that another soul may enter. D. And doing something like this is not frowned upon? S. It would be frowned upon if she took the life of the physical body. D. You mean like suicide? S. Yes. But in just relinquishing it to another who would do good, there is no harm and there is nothing badly thought of this entity. This is a trade that is made with both parties agreeing. I think one thing that was confusing me was that this sounded so much like possession. We have had so many movies lately like The Exorcist, that the idea was frightening. S. There is no similarity whatsoever. A possession is when a warped spirit would control another. In a walk-in situation there is no control. There is but one entity in that body. The only way that entity can step into that body is that the other one willingly relinquish it. There is total permission. With a possession, it is exactly that it is possession without right. D. Where is all this decided? Where is it worked out? S. On the spirit side. We discuss this with the masters and the decisions are made. I wondered if the physical personality had anything to say about it. This girl certainly was not consciously aware of a decision of that magnitude. D. Does she go somewhere at different times to discuss it? S. Yes, when she is in a state that appears as sleep to others, she would journey. This was a disturbing thought to me. To think that as conscious human beings we have so little to say about what is conversations with the spirit going on in our own lives. It is as though our consciousness is but a thin veneer covering an extremely complicated interior. D. Has the discussion been going on for quite a while? S. For about 2 months. D. How old is this physical body that you are going to enter? S. 21. 21? This was another shock. I had met this girl shortly after her 22nd birthday. This means that this exchange occurred just before I met her. Yet she seemed no different from anyone else I came into daily contact with. D. She stayed with that body a long time. S. Yes. There were a lot of things that were cleared up. There was just too much karma that had been accepted that it could not be carried out. Was this the reason for her delay in originally entering into the physical body at birth? Was she having second thoughts about her ability to carry out all the assignments she had given herself? She had already had many problems in her young life and by all outward appearances she had faced and solved them admirably. Had she really lived her life with reluctance and only reached the age of Ta'i through perseverance? Does this mean we can never really know a person? Does it mean we can never really know ourselves? This situation impressed upon me quite strongly for the first time the separateness of the different parts of a human being and how little control we truly have over these other parts. D. Who made the decision as to who would enter the body? S. The masters decided that there was enough likeness of selves that the change would not be greatly noticeable. D. Did you know the other entity? S. Her? Yes. We have also shared other lives together. D. You said this occurrence is becoming more frequent. Why? Are the pressures of living on Earth becoming too great? S. Yes. plus the fact that those who are walking in have not gone through the trauma of childhood or birth, and they are walk-ins 219 more open to the influences from this side. At present and in the future, there is a great need for this openness. These are people who shall guide others into the times to come. One of the reasons for the walking in is that there is a shortage of time and a shortage of vehicles. There must be those who have an ear open, as it were, to the other side. And what better way than if they didn't have to go through birthing and childhood and forget all of the memories of before. Therefore, much good can be done through them. The energy that we bring with us when we are walking in influences those around us also in many ways that are not always noticeable on the surface. Much important work is being done. From the work I have done with regressions, I have developed a theory about children and memories of past lives. When the soul enters the body, the memories are still very close to the surface. It must be very frustrating to suddenly find oneself entrapped within the body of a baby, unable to communicate. No wonder they cry so much. They are trying to get the thought through to people that they are really an intelligent old soul that knows more than we can possibly imagine. During the first 2 years, the spirit becomes so involved in learning to make this new body work and learning to communicate again that the memories are muted and pushed into the background. The few children who do still remember and try to tell people are usually criticized or ridiculed until they stop trying and resign themselves to being normal. I believe if such children were encouraged, instead of being made to feel different, they would learn to use these abilities to their advantage. The walk-in, on the other hand, enters the body fresh without the trauma of birth and without spending years trying to get the body to function. Thus they are very psychic, because the memories and abilities carried over from the other plane are highly developed and very fresh and active. D. Will the physical body notice any difference when the exchange is made? S. No, the heart rate and breathing will be continued on. In many cases, this exchange is done at the point of death, where a person would seem to die and then begin again. But conversations with a spirit, this is not always the case. Many times there is just a going to sleep. And when they wake up, they, you are that person and the other one has gone. But all of the memories have been absorbed, so you are that person. D. What about the other entity's karma? Do you continue this for the mess?
Yes.
In the agreements made, I must finish certain things that the other person stipulated must be finished. D. You work out the other person's karma?
S. No, so much karma as, there are certain things that this original takes on when a body is begun. There is so much interaction with other souls that if certain obligations were not completed, it would affect too many lives. Therefore the bargains must be made so these obligations can be met.
D. Do you mean that the soul who comes in knows all the obligations that the previous occupant of the body had, and is totally aware before they come in of what they have?
S. Interrupted, what it is they must do?
Yes. D. So you have your own memories and you are absorbing her memories also?
S. I have her memories of this life, but no past.
D. Then you don't carry the records of her other incarnations?
S. No. Only my own.
This opened up another intriguing idea. Does this mean that if I had regressed her a few years earlier, I would have gotten the memories of totally different lives than she had given me during the year one worked with her? This has happened to other researchers, and it is a point that is often grasped by psychiatrists and skeptics to disclaim reincarnation.
D. Why doesn't the person, the physical entity, know that something like this has occurred?
S. Sometimes it would be too traumatic to know at that time. Some walk-ins go for the rest of their existence never knowing. But they live better and happier lives than previously, doing much good to others and for others. The remembrance is not always important. The good they do is.
D. I was thin lung. If the physical body sometimes doesn't even know that anything has happened, does this mean the walk-in's 221 physical body is a separate entity?
S. Is it not such? If you are born into a body, the body would continue on for some time without the soul being in it. Therefore it has a separateness.
D. You mean when the spirit goes back and forth, whenever the body is a little baby?
S. Yes.
This was a point that has been brought up in many Rogueira scenes, that the soul leaves the baby's body continually for long periods of time when the baby is little. This most often occurs while the baby is asleep, and everyone knows babies sleep a lot. It continues until the child has reached the age of around 2 years old. The soul is usually conversing with the masters at the school during this time and making last-minute decisions.